Many couples begin their marriage with unrealistic expectations about a variety of things, and that includes sexual intimacy. What do you do when that's not working out like you thought it might? I'm John Fuller, along with Greg and Aaron Smalley. They lead our Focus Marriage team. And Aaron, you're a counselor, and I wonder how common it is for couples to come into your office because of sexual expectations.
It's pretty frequent. As a matter of fact, the research says 62% of married women and 49% of married men are not satisfied with their sex lives. And then, of course, we've talked about this before, 20% of married couples are sexless. And you think about, I was just having this conversation last night with a friend, that our culture, our society is flooding our young people with these images that are unrealistic about sexual intimacy. And so it's important as we enter into marriage, as they're entering into marriage, to have these real conversations with our kids prior to getting married about the realistic part of sex, that it's something we have to work at. We have to work at to build and to continue to pour into this area of marriage.
Yeah. Now, you cited some statistics, and what I thought I heard was more women are dissatisfied with their sexual relationship than men in the marriage. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. And it's interesting because I'm sure there's so much to that. I also know for women, sex is so tied to the emotional connection.
Sure.
And so if the relationship isn't feeling safe and thriving, well, then it's also going to impact their level of satisfaction in sex.
Got it. Well, we're going to turn now to two guests that are just great on this topic, Shanti Feldhahn and Dr. Michael Seitzma. They've done a lot of research, and they spoke with Jim Daly and me about the need to show your spouse grace in this matter of sexuality.
Michael, let me ask you, how do you make the connection that accepting your spouse intimately requires grief?
Yeah.
That is a little confusing.
Jim is looking confused right now.
Yeah, help me. Like men.
This was a big one for me.
I was going to say, if you want to open that.
When we first started talking about this, I was like, whoa. Because basically, one of the things that I hadn't realized, not being a therapist, right? We actually had a long conversation early on in the research where Jeff was actually asking Dr. Mike, okay, we can't make this a 3,000-page book that deals with all the different issues, right? Like, there's so many different issues. Is there some principle, is there something that would allow us to address what you do no matter what the issue is? And that's probably too much to expect. There's not never going to be an answer like that. And Dr. Mike goes, well, actually, no, there is an answer like that. And he said, in the end, all counseling work is grief work. Something about your spouse isn't what you were hoping for. Something about your spouse isn't what you were dreaming when you were thinking about getting married. Whatever those things are, and there are certain aspects of being able to go, okay, I need to grieve that, you know, maybe my husband is never going to make more money than I do. Whatever the number, whatever the thing is that you're grieving. Whatever that is, you go, okay, I would have loved it. I'm going to have to grieve. That's not the case. But once you do, then you go, oh, but I can accept who they are and the amazing things that they bring to that table. It's sort of the what you focus on is what you will see principle again. And now that I have something that I can be excited about, now I can enjoy this relationship rather than constantly be looking at those things that really do need to be grieved.
In the sexual relationship, that's especially profound. In a highly sexually saturated culture, we are bombarded with these fantasy images, whether that be what we've read or what we're seeing or the movies that we're – and we enter into a relationship with this fantasy idea of who I'm going to be and who you're going to be as my sexual partner. And when the humanity of who we are gets in the way, and now I can start demanding that you be who I want you to be, that doesn't work. It causes so much conflict. If I can step back and go, okay, wow, you're not who I really wanted, and I'm not who I thought I would be, how do I grieve the loss of it? Because once I've set it aside and truly grieved it, then I can lean in and be curious. Wait, who are you? Wow, you have receptive desire. Help me to understand how that works for you and how I can seduce you better, how I can draw you in better, mm-hmm. rather than demand that you have the initiating type of desire that I do. Now I can appreciate who you really are.
Mm. We're winding into the end here. So on that spiritual level again, let's go back to God's use of terminology in Scripture, mm-hmm. Hebrew, yada, uh-huh. and describe for us what God is intending. You know, language is powerful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we, you know, we translate things and we think we capture it. But I, you know, in me studying Japanese, sometimes there's not a word in English that gets to the core meaning of what I learned in Japanese. It just doesn't exist. That's true with Hebrew and right. Greek and Latin into English as well. So what was the Lord suggesting with yada?
You know, some will say that that is a euphemism, and he's saying that Adam knew his wife Eve as a euphemistic way of saying he laid with her. But God uses three different types of language for this sexual encounter in Scripture, and the rich times you see it being the yada. Well, God knows all of us, but some of his people seek to be known and seek to know the heart of God, and that's the yada kind of a sense, that Adam and Eve opened themselves up to each other. They sought to know and to be known by each other. That type of a sexuality is a sensuous, that you learn the ways to touch your spouse that nobody else gets to know. You learn the ways to be touched that nobody else gets access to, both in your heart and in your body. That is a rich type of knowing that is exclusive just to spouses. And I think it's so beautiful that he uses a word that reflects both the body, both the spirit of it. It is two-way. I'm seeking to know, and I'm causing to be known.
Mm, that's a beautiful, beautiful expression.
It truly, truly is.
Yeah. And that's the goal, right? Mm-hmm. That's the vulnerability, the trust, the security, mm-hmm. laying all the insecurities down and loving each other.
And it's part of how he is continually drawing us in, that he seeks to know us and he causes himself to be known by us. And he invites us to do the same thing, to seek out his heart and to open up our hearts to him. And in that way, our sexual relationship reflects this larger picture of the theme of the gospel and of all of Scripture yeah. and his relationship to us.
Greg, I know you've got a passion for helping young couples, new couples come together and really be strong and have a strong foundation. How do you address having realistic expectations about sexuality?
Yeah, I think, first of all, John, I would encourage any young couple to understand the messages that were being sent through Hollywood, through media, through all of our streaming shows and movies, and then add in pornography into that mix. Mm. And I think one of the biggest issues is that, like with pornography, it doesn't require you to build a relationship in order to be sexually satisfied. And so I always want to encourage these young couples that, and Aaron kind of talked about this in the opening, that you know, a big part of sex is building that relationship outside the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And it's really learning, how are we wooing? I love that word, wooing each other. How are we building the kind of emotional connection, the kind of intimacy that both men and women long for? As much as Aaron longs for those deeper conversations, I long to do something physically fun, like either maybe watching a movie or going for a walk or doing something like that. So it's the more they can understand that this is really a lifelong pursuit of building relationship, and that takes work. And again, the messages we get, oh, this is just, you know, intimacy, sexual intimacy is just easy. It'll happen perfectly. Mm-hmm. Or it takes no requirement. Again, those things that we're learning through pornography. And the other big one is from the get-go, boy, I mean, if Aaron and I could wave the magic wand for these young couples, it's learn how to talk about sex. Get so good that's just a normal part of your relationship, is mm-hmm. that we talk mm-hmm. and we talk in the bedroom, we talk outside the bedroom about our sexual intimacy. And I think as they do those kinds of things, you know, another one too, as I was thinking about this, is just understand how much stress is going to impact what happens within the bedroom as well. Yeah. And as both the husband and the wife, as they deal with different aspects of feeling stressed and how that's going to impact that. So make that a part of the conversation, mm-hmm. just knowing that, hey, with young kids or a new job or, you know, fill in the blank, we've got to keep talking about this.
Yeah. Well, we're recognizing, even as you're speaking, Greg, that there are times that you can't have the conversation. You don't even know how to begin the conversation. That's where Focus on the Family can help. We have caring Christian counselors, and if you'll call and ask for a free phone consultation, they'll give you a call back and they'll talk through your situation. They'll help you better understand where you're at, what you're feeling, how to get through kind of this moment, and how to have better discussions with your spouse. That's a free phone consultation. We're making that available because donors have provided the funds for us to have these terrific counselors. So give us a call today. There's not a reason to not call, if I can put it that way. 800, the letter A and the word family. 800-A-FAMILY. We'll have details in the show notes as well. And certainly get a copy of this terrific book by Michael and Shanti called Secrets of Sex and Marriage, 8 Surprises That Make All the Difference. If you can, contribute to the work of Focus today. Help us make those counselors possible with a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly pledge of any amount. We'll say thank you for joining the support team and helping other couples by sending that book to you. And we've got all the details about making a donation and getting that book in the show notes. More about this topic next time. And for now, on behalf of the Smalleys and the entire team, thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.